the phone lines were jammed yesterday over Belfast bus lanes and the new cameras trying to catch drivers in them. This kicked off when Mike Barr, who runs a wedding car firm, contacted the show to say one of his drivers was done trying to make drop-offs at the Europa Hotel. Transport Northern Ireland told the Nolan Show the driver should have crossed the bus lane, and listen to this, as near to a right angle as possible when safe to do so. And the discussion yesterday was around how on earth do we as motorists know how close to a right angle as possible we have to go before we're done, before we're fined. The driver claimed he had been in the lane for 50 yards in order to make the turn safely. We can move this story on this morning because Howard Hastings from the Europa Hotel has told us that they are now losing business because of this policy. Howard Hastings is one of the most prominent businessmen in Northern Ireland. The Europa is one of the most prominent businesses in Northern Ireland. And Mr. Hastings has confirmed that the Europa is now having bookings cancelled because of this new policy. And that's a result of government policy, that one of our prominent businesses in Northern Ireland is losing business. So we wanted some clarity around these bus lanes. Joining me in the studio, Ciarán de Burca, the DRD's director of their transport projects division. So you're Mr. Bus Lane, Ciarán.
Good morning, Stephen. Yes, one of my projects is the implementation of the Belfast Rapid Transit System, and part of that is to implement bus lanes within the city centre and on the radial routes.
And you're proud of them? They're working well?
Yes, as far as we're concerned, they're working really well. We've had a major increase in the number of people travelling by public transport. We've gone past the magic 50-50 split, where two or three years ago, we had 47% of people walking, cycling and travelling by public transport into the city centre. Now we've got 53%. And we feel that it's very important that that road space is shared and allocated in relation to the number of people. I think you also have to remember, Stephen, that we have in the city over 40% of households do not have access to a car. So we need to allocate space for them for public transport to operate.
Do you want cars in the city centre, Ciarán?
Of course we want cars in the city centre. This is not anti-motorist. What we've always said is that people doing business in the city centre are more than welcome to drive in. And even after the Belfast and the Move project, which obviously was very controversial at the time, caused a lot of problems, we did see an increase actually in the number of people parking in the city centre when it came in, because these were people now that were coming in and doing business. Before that, we had an awful lot of people who were driving through the city centre, not stopping because they had no business there, and going from one side of the city to the other and using it as a shortcut. And we find this as a city in European city terms, you know, this just doesn't happen in other European cities. They stop traffic driving through cities. Traffic comes in, does their business and goes back out again. And that's very important for the life and vibrancy of the city.
Yeah, it's loaded though when you start comparing Northern Ireland to other European cities, because of course other European cities, I've travelled throughout most of them, they have fantastic tram systems. They have much better public transport than we currently have.
We're working very much towards that, and new Belfast.
Working towards it means we don't have it.
But yeah, we have to take things slowly. The Belfast Rapid Transit project, which we're working on, and which the bus lanes are part of, and we're implementing them on a gradual basis to get people used to them. That's part of it. The bus fleet, the TransLink bus fleet, obviously has to operate as efficiently as possible, because by making it attractive, and for instance, the new system we've put in, the new 4X system coming in from Dundonald Park and Ryde site, limited stop, people getting in more efficiently and quickly into the city. So we're making the offer better to get people to move on to public transport.
So let's now get straight into what caused such a hullabaloo yesterday. We need clarity, don't we? If we are being fined, if ordinary working men and women are being fined by a policy that you support, that you implement, Ciarán, then we need clarity. So how many yards are we allowed to be in a bus lane before we turn the corner?
Stephen, as far as turning left from a bus lane is concerned, when you're crossing from the other lane across the bus lane, you should turn left as close to the access as you can possibly get safely. So, you know, somewhere...
That's ambiguous.
As I said, or as we've tried to make clear yesterday, we take a 10-second clip of a car that we see contravening or a vehicle contravening a bus lane. And that 10-second clip, we look at that very carefully to make sure that people are not taking advantage of bypassing a queue to make a left-hand turn.
So you can't be in a bus lane more than 10 seconds? Or you'll get done?
If the cameras are operational on that bus lane, absolutely. And in a, you know, on the basis that at 30 miles an hour you travel about 10 metres, that means you've travelled 100 metres in that bus lane.
Not necessarily, if traffic is static.
But if the reason you will duck out of the traffic lane to go into the bus lane is because obviously you see it's free and you can travel then.
30 miles per hour is often the maximum speed limit, Kieran.
Yes,
and some of those roads. And so you're loading that too.
How do you mean I'm loading that?
Well, you're saying that at 30 miles per hour, you will go 100 metres, you said.
Approximately, yes.
But we shouldn't all drive at the very maximum speed limit for an ordinary road at 30 miles per hour. Some of us might go at 20 miles. Some of us might go at 15, especially if we're turning a corner within those seconds.
Yeah, if people are...
Let me just finish this point. It would be a very strange driving manoeuvre if we were turning left and we sped up that bus lane at 30 miles per hour.
But you speed up the bus lane to avoid queues. We're not saying to people if you're in the bus lane for 10, 15 metres before you turn left because it makes your manoeuvre easier. We're not strictly putting a protractor out there and saying it has to be at a 90-degree angle. But you know, anything that's reasonable, we look at each individual contravention, and anything that's reasonable, we take a very reasonable view on this. If somebody undertakes a vehicle that's turning right and goes back into the queue again and doesn't proceed along the bus lane to gain an advantage, then that's quite acceptable as far as we're concerned. Because
so how many yards are you allowed to be? Like, you know, give us certainty here. How many yards before that left-hand corner, how many yards are we allowed to be in the bus lane? You must be able to stipulate it.
It depends on every access point is different. You know, if it's a major side road, then we actually stop the bus lane maybe 15, 20 yards back from the corner. If it's a minor...
not 15 or 20. So what is it?
It depends on the volume of traffic turning left. We have rules as far as the volume of traffic turning...
What are the rules?
It's basically 2 metres per second at a set of traffic signals that we will allow vehicles, depending on the amount of green time. So
hold on, because I don't understand that, and I drive every day. So we're allowed 2 metres per second for what?
Depending on the number of vehicles that turn left at a particular junction, we will look at that and work out what space we need for those vehicles to get in safely so that they can queue to turn left at that junction.
But how do we work, not you working out later, how do we work it out when we're on the road?
The bus lanes are marked, and if you're coming up to a private access, you drive up as far as that private access and then turn left across the junction, across the bus lane.
Yes, but when we go in, so what we're talking about here, just to, because this is important. So we've got the bus lane, right? And the reason we're doing this, just to explain to everyone else, lots and lots of you are confused. At what point can you move into the left-hand bus lane when you're driving up the road in order to turn left? Okay, that's what we're asking, because people have been dumb. At £90 a ticket, you get a 50% discount if you pay it within 2 weeks. So there's pressure on you to pay it rather than appeal it for a start. The system is loaded against you. They have the fine if you accept it. So lots of you are saying, how many yards can you move into the bus lane? So let's take the Europa as an example. Where you find lorry drivers for turning, where you find someone going to a wedding, on their wedding, for turning into the Europa, where Howard Hastings in charge of the Europa is now losing business because of your policy. How many yards can you be in that bus lane?
That bus lane is designed in such a way that you can drive up on outside the bus lane, in the traffic lane, and then turn safely into almost immediately opposite the access into the Europa. It's okay. quite straightforward. That's more or less a private access. You drive up the bus lane and you turn left as close as possible to that, almost at right angles into that access.
How close to a right angle do we need to be?
We would say maximum maybe one car length.
So what many metres is that?
6 metres, 5-6 metres.
Right, so we have got to turn at a right angle within 6 metres or we will be fined. All I'm looking for is clarity.
Yes.
Wow. How does a lorry do that?
Well, each case, as I said, we have a video clip and we look at each case individually.
But we don't have video clips today and we don't have videos in our cars. So what we're looking for is for you to provide us with absolute guidance this morning. So if you're a lorry driver, are you expecting lorries to turn that corner, that acute corner within 6 metres?
In actual fact, most lorries, and it makes it easier for them to turn from the second lane into a left-hand turn, because as they approach a left turn normally, they actually move out a small bit if it's an acute turn. So in actual fact, it's easier for a truck to make that left-hand turn from the traffic lane rather than from the bus lane. So, you know, and as I said, we will look at each one of these. We did offer you yesterday the opportunity to come and look at the video clips that we had for the wedding party.
Yeah.
And it is quite clear from the wedding, from the video clips that we've seen from that, that these vehicles were deliberately going into the bus lane to bypass queues for quite some distance.
Imagine doing that if you're going to your wedding.
We have rules and regulations as far as permitted vehicles in bus lanes are concerned.
Yeah.
We did public consultation on this. It's been through the Assembly, all of that.
Well, the public consultation wasn't in support of your bus lanes, was it?
Public consultation generally is very supportive of our bus lanes.
So the public consultation that you conducted supported your policy, is that correct?
Public consultation supports our bus lanes, yes.
Okay. You see, when you talk, Kieran, about that you assess each individual case, I won't question that as well in itself. But you know, I'm just thinking about who within your department looks at a wedding party and thinks, yeah, we'll do them too. Doesn't sound like discretion, does it?
We have a three-stage process as far as the tickets are, the penalty charge notices which are issued for contraventions are concerned. On the first case, our company, NSL, they have three independent reviewers. They look at the video clip. If they consider it a contravention, then we issue a penalty charge notice. There is then the right for the person that receives that penalty charge notice to appeal. If we look at the video clip ourselves and we reject or accept that appeal. If then that person is still unhappy, they have the possibility then to go to an independent arbitrator.
How many staff have you got assessing these contraventions?
We have three staff in NSL and possibly two staff within our own department.
So you're telling me that they have been able to look and assess accurately 6,000 of those in 2 months?
Yes. They're 10-second video clips. And most of them are quite clear-cut.
I want to go back to, so I understand now, and thank you for providing that we've got 6 minutes, we've got 6 metres to turn, or else we're going to be done. Now, you then said earlier that if there is a queue of traffic to get into the turn, that will change to 2 metres per second for what? I don't understand that.
At traffic signals, if we have a left turn lane, that's a heavy left turn lane and a bus lane, we will provide an area we will stop the bus lane short of the junction based upon 2 metres per second of green time to allow traffic to make a turn left into that junction, depends on the volume of left turn traffic.
How do we work that out as a motorist?
We work it out.
No, but how do we work it out we don't get fined?
You don't need to work it out. The bus lane is marked clearly on the road. You obey the bus lane. And when you come to the end of the bus lane, you turn left. It will be clearly signposted for you to turn left, that you can go left at the end. The bus lane will stop. So it is clearly signposted and road marked on the road. The bus lane ends at that point and you can turn left and go in and into that lane to go turn left.
You've issued, is this true, 6,000 fines in 2 months?
I'm not aware of the exact figure, but it would be probably a bit more than that at this stage.
How much more?
Probably another 30 or 40% more than that. I don't have the exact figures. I haven't.
Well, what's the rough figure?
We're close to about 10,000.
In 2 months?
In 2 months.
And then you tell me it's not a revenue raiser.
Our whole idea here is, and we've already...
It's close to £1 million.
No, it's not, because most of the people pay at £45.
Close to £500,000 in 2 months.
Yes. we set out with this project.
It's a £3 million revenue raiser.
Not
now we know what you're about.
Sorry, Stephen, if you'd let me finish. What has happened is we have noticed a marked reduction in the number of vehicles that are now contravening. The numbers are dropping, and this has always been the norm for any city, that once this moving traffic offences is enforced initially, you have this peak and then it drops off to a lower level and then it settles down to a very much lower level. And this is exactly what's happening at the moment. We are getting less and less every day on our cameras now.
Why the 10-second rule?
The 10-second video, it's a 10-second video clip, and that's norm in industry norm for other
Why? What's the rationale behind it? Why are we only allowed in the bus lane for 10 seconds and not 15 or 20 seconds if we deem it safe?
Stephen, you're missing 2 points here. You are not allowed in the bus lane for 10 seconds. We are not allowing you in the bus lane for 10 seconds. The 10-second video clip, there's two things being mixed. You're mixing up the 10-second video clip that we look at for each contravention is what we look at, the 10-second. You are actually not allowed to drive in the bus lane.
So how many seconds are we allowed in it?
You're not allowed any seconds in
it. So you might do this for being in the bus lane 5 seconds?
We will look at each video clip. As I said earlier on, if you go into that bus lane to gain an advantage by bypassing the queue, then you're obviously contravening the rules. If you go into that bus lane to bypass a vehicle that's turning right, fair enough. We will look sympathetically at that. And
but that's not true. Sorry. You will only look sympathetically at that if we appeal. You will automatically fine us. There's a pressure on us to pay it because then we pay double the 45 quid.
Sorry, we do not. Not every. When NSL look at the video clips initially, not all of them go beyond when they look at them. They rule out, I think some of it, maybe 30% or 40% are ruled out before a PCN is ever issued.
Right.
So we do look at each of these for contravention. So everyone is looked at individually, like as I said earlier on, and we take a view on that. I think we've had the equivalent of about maybe 14,000 of these that we've looked at, and about 4,000, and I'm not sure of the exact figures, but these are approximate figures. About 4,000 of those have not been issued as penalty charge notices because we have looked at those and we said, no, that person went in for a short period and went back out again, and we'll take a reasonable view as far as that's
concerned. Yeah, but give us clarity. If we go in for a short period and out again, how long is that short period? You must have rules for your staff.
The rule is that if you go in for a short period...
How many seconds?
It doesn't matter how many seconds. It's if you go in to
it could be a long period.
Sorry, let me be clear. What I said... If a vehicle is turning right, you go into the bus lane to go inside that bus lane and you go straight back into the bus lane again. If that takes you 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, that's fine. I am not giving you an exact time period because each manoeuvre, as I said, is looked at by the video cameras and the operators.
How on earth do your staff know, looking at 10,000 of these?
They're highly experienced people and it's their job.
Where did they get the experience from if this has just started?
They're trained by their NSL staff who are trained by NSL run 400 odd of these cameras throughout Great Britain. So the staff are trained.
Okay, so the staff have done this before?
Yes.
They came from outside Northern Ireland in to do this?
I am not sure where the
staff... Well, you've just said they're highly experienced.
They're highly experienced NSL staff and they're trained to
experienced at what? They couldn't be experienced at bus lanes because it's just starting.
They've had, first of all, Stephen, for the first 3 weeks, we introduced these on the 1st of June. Yeah. We had a 3-week grace period, and obviously they became extremely, with the number of contraventions that weren't issued, as were just issued as warning notices during that period, they gained an awful lot of experience as far as that's concerned. So, but they are also highly trained by NSL. NSL are our contractors who deal with this on our behalf.
How long was the training?
I can't tell you. I'm not.
But they're highly trained.
Yes, they're highly trained. I have not had.
Okay. How many 24-hour bus lanes do we have?
I think about 5 or 6. I'm not off the top of my head. Can I tell you?
Why do we have any 24-hour bus lanes if buses don't run 24 hours?
Some of the bus lanes, such as the one, and I presume You're talking about the one outside Central Station.
I'm talking about all 5 and 6.
Yeah, well, some of them are routes that are specifically designed for buses and bus only, such as the exit route from, say, the Europa bus depot. But the one outside Central Station, I'll give you an example, that's a 24-hour bus lane because it actually has a bus gate at the end that allows the bus to get out and merge in traffic. If somebody drives on that in a car or a taxi, they can end up being stuck at that set of lights and cannot get out, so it's unsafe.
No, the question is, why are they why is a bus lane 24 hours if buses don't go in the middle of the night?
Because for safety reasons, and on that particular bus lane, it's for safety reason because...
What about the other 5?
They're specifically designed as bus-only streets.
Yes, but a bus-only... This is when I wonder, Kieran, and we've only got 2 or 3 minutes left. This is where I wonder if ordinary people think like government. Because there have been people speaking to me yesterday saying, hold on a minute, they're enforcing bus lanes in the middle of the night when there is no bus.
The one that has been enforced in the middle of the
night... No, there are 5 or 6, you
said. Yeah, but the one that's been enforced all the time in the middle of the night is the one outside the Central Station.
That's not true.
That is...
There are 5 or 6... 24-hour bus lanes.
Yes, but the enforcement cameras do not operate at night time.
Right, so then we can drive through them in the middle of the night, can we? So they're not 24-hour bus lanes.
We don't have a problem at any of those at the moment.
No, not at the moment. Hold on, the language is important. So are all of the other bus lanes not 24-hour bus lanes that are labelled 24-hour bus lanes?
There are about 5 or 6 different, I don't know the exact number, there are 5 or 6 different bus lanes that are 24-hour bus lanes. There are cameras on some of them and we have a mobile detection unit. If we see that there is a problem occurring on these, we will put the mobile detection unit on the ones where we don't have fixed cameras. So if we have a fixed camera, it's operating and that's operating full time, such as the one outside Central Station. Central Station is a specific case for safety reasons. It's been high profile because of that and because it is a bus gate. And it has to operate as a 24-hour bus lane.
Okay, so Park Central Station, all of the other 24-hour bus lanes, are you happy we drive down them when the buses don't run on them?
I'm not happy. I was not involved in the introduction of the legislation for those other 24-hour bus lanes.
I'm not asking you that.
Yeah, I know you're not asking me that. But I'm sure, as far as I'm concerned, they have regulations in place. The camera enforcement system is there to enforce the regulations. The 24-hour bus lanes have all been put in for very good reasons.
You can't tell me what the reason is for the other 5 bus lanes. And you're the man that developed the policy.
I did not develop the policy.
Okay. Why do you have a bus lane, let's park outside Central Station, why are you enforcing a bus lane when the buses don't drive on them? It is farcical, is it not?
No, it's not. The situation with some of the other bus lanes is they've been designed for buses only and they have no relevance as far as general traffic is concerned.
How can a piece of road be designed for a bus only and a car isn't suitable?
Sorry, they have no relevance they do not provide any access route for other cars. They're for buses only, such as the one from the Europa.
Why are you supporting a policy which excludes motorists from a piece of road in order to provide that road for buses when the buses will never be on them?
The buses...
It is farcical.
The point is there's absolutely nothing to be gained by cars travelling those streets at night time. So why open them at that particular time?
What's to be gained from government, from civil servants, from you, banning motorists from being on them if there's nothing to gain from banning them from them in the middle of the night? You know, people are contacting me yesterday and saying, am I allowed to drive in this bus lane at 2 a.m. in the morning?
The
answer to that is no, you're not, because you say no, you're not.
The signs for each bus lane are quite specific and they tell you at what times you can and cannot drive in them.
Yes, and some of them are 24-hour bus lanes.
Absolutely.
When the buses are only on them 12 hours a day.
Yeah,
it's farcical. Farcical.
The buses are on them for a lot longer. They're on for about 16, 18 hours a day.
Right, so why are the other 6? Why are we banned from the other 6 hours of it?
Because at that time of the night, there's very little traffic around and the alternative routes are the best routes to use.
But if there's very little traffic around, then surely there's no need for the bus lane.
Each bus lane is in individual reasons for why it was installed. whether it's 24 hours or morning or evening peak. I was not involved in the process for any of them, with the exception of the one.
Do you stand over it?
Yes, I do, yes. Because I think if the policy is working and we've no demand for people to drive through those streets at night time, then, you know, why let them in for a short period over night time?
Why because let them in? Because they own the road. They pay for the road.
Because the other streets...
That's Stephen, why you let them
the other streets, Stephen, already provide the network during the day that's more than adequate to cater for traffic movement.
Okay. Just two more questions, I guess. Where's all this revenue going to? The £500,000 at least, because some people will then have paid the £90 fines. Where's all of that going to?
All the money that we make out of this, revenue that is got out of this, will go into upgrading public transport information systems on, you know, the audiovisual system we're putting in on vehicles and other public transport systems.
Okay. And how was your journey into work today?
I came in by bus this morning.
You come in by bus every day?
I walk, use my car. I have various different ways of
getting in. Most days do you come into work by bus?
Probably 50% of the time.
So it's a coincidence you came by bus today?
I said 50% of the time is half and half.
And the other half is the car?
No, walking.
So you never use the car?
I use the car as I said earlier on, when people want to use their car for business purposes. When I have a business purpose for my car to come into work in the morning, I use my...
Well, this is a business purpose.
I didn't need to, for me, business would mean I'd have to travel someplace outside the city or through the city or whatever. Business for me means something like this, where it's close to my office. I can get in by public transport or I can walk. Then I take public transport or walk.
And it's a good system, is it? Because I don't do buses. It's good, is it?
I'm aware, Stephen, of your, I won't say hatred, but whatever, of buses. But yes, my bus service is adequate for what it does. Walking is healthy, and that's why I choose to use those.
But just because it's not that I hate buses, I just don't do them. You know, maybe I should start trying them, and I agree with that. You know, much is a weekly ticket?
It depends. That there are several different...
There must be a standard. Is there not a weekly ticket that you buy that gets you around the zones?
The best thing to do is to buy a 10-journey or 20-journey or 40-journey ticket, where you'll get about 130 or 120 or 130, whatever, per ticket.
If you buy you must know.
If you buy an individual...
So how much is it?
If you buy an individual ticket...
Yeah.
If you buy an individual ticket, it'll cost you somewhere about 220. But okay. Tickets should be bought, and the reason that there are offers from Transic is it makes much more sense that if you pay 130 for a journey, if you have a 10-journey ticket, or 125 if it's a 20-journey ticket, whatever, per journey.
What do you do? Because you must be getting a lot of buses if you travel 50% of the time. Do you buy multi-buy?
Stephen, that's a very personal question. I'm not prepared to discuss what tickets I buy or don't buy or whatever. That's my own business.
You won't tell us if you buy a multi-ticket? That's personal?
It is personal business, yes.
Why?
It's personal.
Right. So you pay each time?
Stephen, I'm not prepared to discuss how I pay for public transport.
Fair enough. But just assure me that you know how much a multi-buy ticket is.
I do know how much a multi-buy ticket is.
How much?
About 23 quid for 10 journeys, or for 20 journeys, sorry.
23 quid for 20 journeys?
Yeah. Okay. I haven't bought one recently, so...
But you travel 50% of the time.
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay. What do you say to the public? Look at the lines. So here they are, ringing and ringing and ringing, and then we're done. And thank you for overstaying, by the way. And you have overstayed. So what do you say to the public? Because I actually feel sorry for you sometimes, right? Because you're the civil servant in front of a policy that absolutely is probably doing public good and is for the future and is reducing congestion. But it's an unpopular policy among some people, isn't it? What do you say to them?
Well, I think, Stephen, we will be as fair as we can be as far as the moving traffic offences and the enforcement is concerned. As I said, everybody is entitled to challenge and then to go to independent arbitration as far as each contravention is concerned. You know, I think it's important that we did have 3 weeks at the very start of this project where we had a warn and wave system in place to get people used to it. We had a huge amount of publicity as far as this is concerned. You know, we were on all radio shows, TV. We did loads of interviews. And, you know, we're open and honest. And you were talking about Mr. Hastings earlier on. As far as I'm aware, he's coming in to talk to us tomorrow about his issue.
He's not happy.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And we're meeting Mr. Hastings tomorrow. So, you know, we are available to talk. And it's very important from our point of view that, you know, the